Hello everyone, this is Robin Booth here, and this is a recording on the DISC profiling system. Whether you're a staff who is employed with a boss, a teacher and a principal, whether you are the boss or the principal, this is definitely for you. And of course you can go to my website and see so much more resources, skill sets and online workshops at robinbooth.co.za. That's R-O-B-I-N. BOOTH.CO.ZA. So, welcome. This is Robin Booth speaking, and this is a recording of how to better understand the DISC profile and, more importantly, how to use it to your advantage. Whether you are a manager, a school principal, a leader of some sort, how better to understand your leadership style, and also how better to understand the people that you're leading so that you can lead them in a way that's also going to work for them while you still getting done what you're needing to get done. And in the same light, this can be also really powerfully used for any staff member, whether you're a teacher or just an employee in a general company, of how you can better get on with your colleagues, but more importantly, how you can understand the possible style of your leader or your boss such that you can actually take advantage of that and make it work in your favor. For example, my wife Renee used this DISC profile system to get an increase in her salary because she understood what it was that her boss needed for her to get that increase. Whereas if she had just gone, which she actually had done on two occasions, gone and demanded an increase, it just didn't work for her boss and she actually didn't get what she needed. So the best way for me to share the understanding and the insights of how you can use this tool to support you in getting more of what you want, not at the cost of the other, it's probably best that we split it up into the four different categories, the D, the I, the S, and the C, and to understand what makes those profiles tick, what demotivates them, or how to reward them and how to, I don't want to say manipulate, but in some way it is, how to take advantage of this understanding to get more of what you're needing. So if it is that we take a look at the D profile, this is a profile that's far more, demanding, but they really are driving. These are people who are very good at starting things. They get things up and going very quickly. And therefore it can be seen as being forceful or daring or risk-taking for the profiles who don't like those things. But these are really, really powerful people in groups and in getting things motivated and in action. But of course, if you have staff who are high D, well, it's going to be a challenge in managing them because one, they don't like to be micromanaged. They also don't like routine or where things just take a long time to be decided. So they would like to be given responsibility and obviously just to get things going and as much autonomy as possible. So if you're going to supervise them because you want quality control and you want to check how everything works, you're going to probably upset a high D style person. Of course, if they're also coming up with ideas and you just keep squashing those ideas, or if they are in authority positions and you undermine that authority, well, you're going to be undermining something that's really important to them because they like to be able to make decisions and therefore appreciate that power in being able to act on their decisions as well. Because they also are great starters, have big ideas, they see the big picture, they can often multitask and therefore don't want to feel that their time is wasted because otherwise they'd like to get onto other projects. So again, look for those kinds of people who are in positions where this is beneficial to them. And what will also demotivate them, of course, is if you just give them lots of details. So paper to sift through, admin, bureaucracy, anything that just keeps holding them back from just being in action or what they're really wanting. And perhaps it's a really good opportunity at this moment just to share that although we are labeling our personalities into the D, the I, the S, and the C, we obviously have varying percentages in each profile. And there's always the risk that we box ourselves and therefore see ourselves as finite, as concrete, as something which cannot be flexible or adapted. And that's a really important insight to have, especially as the modern day leader and especially as school principals, where we're basically becoming competent in a whole lot of different things. We have to wear so many hats as school principals and as managers of people that it can be quite challenging to say, well, this is the only thing that I'm good at, or this is all that I do. So we're probably wanting to differentiate and distinguish between something that you're good at or have learned and are competent at, and what is also something which is a natural part of your personality. For example, I might be really good at managing accounts and supervising the bookkeepers in my business because I've had to learn that if I do not carefully manage that, things can get out of control. But actually, it could also mean I really don't like it. It's one of the things that I would hate to do every day again and again. So we're distinguishing between things that we're good at or we've learned to do or we've had to learn, and those things which are actually naturally part of us that we'll probably enjoy doing, that are part of our flow, that are one of our natural strengths. And that's going to be an important differentiation for us to carry on in this conversation. So let's say that moving off now from, instead of just the how to demotivate a D, let's say that you have D staff members, but you want to know how to recognize and build them up and praise them. Now, to do that, the best thing is to give them more autonomy and get them to link their actions to the results. So the more independence they have and the more they can see that it links to the results that are needed, the more they will feel more empowered and more motivated to even perform better. When praise them in a direct manner and link it to the results that they have just achieved. So for example, if it is that a teacher has just organized a great project or a play or some activity, recognize it by really going up to them saying, that was a fantastic job, well done, and it impacted so many people. Or you raised 200,000 Rand, and with that money, we're going to change this whole classroom for the benefit of a lot of people. So really linking it to the big picture and to how this impacts the kind of projects that you're working on. Definitely, if they come up with ideas, acknowledging that it was their ideas, give them credit for their work. Otherwise, they'll feel that you're manipulating them. And if you take away their credit, they will certainly resent what you've been doing. And what's really great about the high D personalities is if they believe that they are due for an increase or due for promotion, they will engage you. They will confront you on this. They're going to believe in their self-worth, and they're not going to leave it to chance. So any form of advancement where you can see those possibilities of giving them something else to work on, that's a great way to recognize the value that they add to your company. This would be really important and useful to also bear in mind that the high Ds also enjoy, and I say with tact and care, that they also can thrive on competition, on seeing how they can push themselves to the limit. At times, this can also come across as risk-taking because, of course, these people are willing to take greater risks to get things going and to get results quicker. They're not as concerned about doing it the right way, doing it the fair way, doing it the moral way. There's a much greater degree of drive and energy that they bring to any team or organization. At the same time, if it is that you have a boss who is a high D, they're obviously expecting you to be independent and to get results done. They don't want to have to micromanage you. They want to be able to delegate something and know that you're going to give the results that are needed and be able to perform in a way that is needed. This is going to be really important because if you're someone, let's say a higher S or a higher C personality, you're going to want probably some guidance, some clarification, some detail. What does it look like? When is it due by? And the high D personality bosses are just going to say, sort it out, do it, and give me the results, please. So we've covered then how to demotivate. We've covered how to praise the different D personalities. What's really interesting in the South African context is you will not find a lot of D personality type teachers, partly because the D type personality teachers are looking for ways of promotion, but more importantly, because of the energy and drive, the bureaucracy and the admin of the current teaching environment just is incredibly boring for them and too slow paced. So if they do enter the teaching profession, they'll probably exit quite quickly just because this is not something that's as exciting or will provide them with the stimulation and the advancement that they're really looking for. In the South African context, as we'll discuss later on, you will see a significant amount of high S and high C because of the things that they tolerate, because of their conflict avoidance, and because of their willingness just to have a stable, consistent routine. They are predominantly in the teaching profession at the moment. So we can move on into how you can stress out a high D. Now, this doesn't mean you can go out and intentionally target high Ds to see how you can stress them out. If anything, it's actually for us to take this opportunity to see if we're doing things which do stress them out. Because if that is the case, you're not going to get them to perform in a way that's really optimal or in a way that's going to just leverage your team or them in, onto a different level. So first and foremost, just block their personal goals. So no doubt, as mentioned, these are driven people. They've probably got big goals, goals which are far-reaching, are big to take on, and they're not scared to go and take these goals on and actually be in action of them, in spite of it seeming impossible. So if you're a boss of a high D, or actually anyone who has an ability to put a block in front of their of them achieving their goals, of working towards the goals, it's going to stress out a high D. Anything that makes them slow down, because remember, they're fast-paced, they want to get going, they want to achieve, create. Well, if you're slowing it down, whether it's through details, whether it's through administration, whether it's through, oh, hang on, we need to review this information and we'll get back to you in 3 weeks' time, well, that's going to frustrate a D because they want to get going on it. If it is that when you're in conversation with them, there's a lot of small talk and you're avoiding or moving slowly towards what you really want to talk about, that could also frustrate them because they just want to take it head on, engage, deal with what's going on, and move on. Now, this can be quite challenging because for them, conflict is not a major issue. And what I mean by that is, it's not that they avoid it. They're actually more comfortable in conflict and sometimes can actually initiate the conflict because they want to say it as it is. They want to call a spade a spade. And if something's not working, they will confront. They will come and say, hey, this isn't working for me. We've got to do something about it. Let's move on. Now, if you're a conflict avoidance type, like a high C personality type, who actually just wants to avoid all conflict because you don't want to do things wrong, you want to do things correct, and also you're incredibly fair and sensitive to what's going on, a high D who comes and shares that something's not working for them is going to create a lot of discomfort in the high C, and it will therefore probably blossom out of control because both the high D and the high C personalities may not quite know how to deal with the conflict. So again, our happiness is not the absence of our problems or the absence of conflict, but our ability to deal with them. And with us going into this DISC profile, the intention is that you can understand more about our personality type so you can put in place the strategies and the skill sets that would enable the strengths of each of our profiles to actually surface and not become an issue, which just is because we're ignorant of actually what makes us tick and how to work together powerfully as a team. As mentioned before, in praising a high D, if you take their limelight, they probably will resent you for it. So if you are in any way taking advantage of them, whether it is through time or paying them too little, at some point they're going to feel, hey, this is not fair. And they're going to be in action of that. Whereas the high C and the high S's, they're less likely to confront. They're less likely to tell you what's not working for them. The D's are on the opposite extreme. They're going to come and engage and confront, and they will tell it as it is. And then they'll move on. So they're not likely to hold a grudge against the conflict. For them, they might be in conflict the one day and everything's fine the next day, and they're not holding on to that. But as you'll see, the high S and the high C personality types will hold on to that that conflict, and if there's a resentment, and it will sit there and simmer until either it just explodes or it will just build into a resentment, and then the whole relationship will just disintegrate. And that's a real caution in working in teams. And of course, we talked about details of the high D. So if you pass a lot of detail, bureaucracy and admin and forms and technicalities and procedures and policies, it's going to be really challenging for them. I worked with a high D staff member many years back, and every policy we designed, she just said, no, this is not going to work for me. It takes away her flexibility. She wants to be more independent. And it was incredibly challenging for me, who's a high C person, to actually work with the high D staff member, because I was great at policies. I love putting in place procedures, systems that would create a guaranteed result. And here was the high D person who was just kind of like balking and just stalling at wanting to do this. implement the systems. Now, don't get me wrong in that the high Ds are these people who just bulldoze their way through, because I've also realized that they have an immense strength. They have an immense capability to get things going. And on the one hand, if you have a governing body chairperson or a chairperson of a board or a person who's in a position to start up something new or to drive a project which requires a lot of energy and insight, I go for a high D person. A school principal was sharing with me the other day that they had a chairperson of their parent governing body who promised a huge amount of funding that could come in and a new wing to be built onto their school and a really great opportunity for growth. But at the end of that chairperson's term of office, very little had been achieved. And it's probably because that person was not a doer. They were probably more of a in the background personality type. Whereas if they'd taken a high D person, one who is a driver, who gets people motivated, who has the big picture and works tirelessly towards it, you might find that you get really great results from those people. So again, understanding that each profile has its niche and has its strengths. And if you can pinpoint that and understand that, you will get people to perform far better than that they even know they're capable of. And you can get amazing results from doing that. So let's carry on with the Ds and look to see what else we can govern from them. I mentioned a little bit about the conflict of the D style. So Ds, because they're far more driven and say it as it is, they can actually tread on the toes of the people around them. I have found that in workshops, in the way that I teach workshops, for example, I also enjoy the kind of collaboration and patience and turn-taking. And if I ask a question, not everyone shouts out straight at once. But I found that the high D wants their idea to be heard. So they have no qualm in interrupting and in saying, oh, I've got a question, can I ask it now? Or allowing for the conversation to go off on a tangent. Because again, they're fast-paced. They don't want to spend hours talking about the same thing when actually they can get going on something else. So I've learned to understand and to work with the high Ds in a different way. Especially if I can pinpoint who they are, I find ways to ask them questions or to bring them into the conversation so their ideas are there, so that this doesn't disrupt the other personality types in the room and in what we're working with. Often as well, if I can pinpoint who the high Ds are, then when there are group discussions going on, I often will go and just add a few more questions so that group can keep moving with extra ideas, as opposed to just spending a long time on just one idea. So anything that keeps the pace faster with a high D group personality type is definitely going to make it work well. And you'll also notice that if you bring in a bit of competition, a bit of flair, or anything that's competitive, then definitely you will see them accelerate. Of course, a high D, one of the risks is that they therefore also use conflict as a tool to actually create a win-lose. So like in competition, there's not so much of an interest as in let's all win. We want that win-win in a competition. They want to outperform the people around them, which can definitely get them to do things more than might initially be needed. So in other words, you can actually get them to outperform what is needed, which is fantastic if you're needing stuff done and actioned. At the same time, it could come across as, well, we're going to win and you're going to lose. And that could really disrupt the more S group of people and the C group of people who prefer more group cohesion, loyalty, and a win-win for everyone. So that brings us to the end of the D-style person at this moment. We will come back and just do a run-up of the D-style with all the other personality types, but let's carry on moving through the Ds. We're now moving into the I-style person. This person is far more interpersonal oriented. In other words, they're a lot more gregarious. They are persuasive, inspiring, enthusiastic. These are definitely the people person. So you can often notice them straight away. They're the ones that are making jokes, that are bringing the teams together. They're the laughter. They're often more dramatic. And dramatic I'm referring to is they like drama. Drama not necessarily about throwing their hands up and screaming, but drama as in acting out in being the center of the tension. So you can often notice them straight away who they are on your team. And therefore you can also start to notice how they can really be upsetting for a lot of the other people who you're working with. So if we follow the same pattern as we looked at in the D-style person, in other words, we look at what is it that demotivates an I-style person the most? Well, we said they're people person. So isolating them is going to really just demotivate them. So either it is that they're in an office on their own with no other interaction, or whether it is that they're behind closed doors, or whether you're teaching or running or facilitating workshops where they are not interactive and participating, because these are the people who would much rather sit around, talk and discuss a topic and learn information that way than read a book or sit behind a computer or just have talk and chalk. They see people as the primary key for interaction and for learning. Again, they're also quite fast-paced, so anything that's in a slow-paced setting is going to frustrate them. Because they're people-oriented, they like the attention, so if they've contributed something and it's not mentioned or they go unnoticed, it will definitely demotivate them. And they like spontaneity and lots of fun. These are fun-loving people who, if there is fun, that's all that's really is going to create the drive for them. So if you're going to learn new topics or want to teach a high I style person something, the more fun you can make it and the more group interaction, then definitely they're going to integrate that at a far greater rate. So therefore, that means that if there's routine or repetitive tasks, it's really going to frustrate them. So if there's a career, which is very unlikely for a high I-style person, it will be accounting and bookkeeping, because a bookkeeper sits through details, sits through monotony, sits through entering data, checking if this equals that and balancing the books, and often would prefer just to be in the background working on their own. And you're unlikely going to find an I-style person doing those kinds of jobs. Which leads me to a really great point, which is this can therefore be used, this DISC profiling test, to partly get a sense of who you're working with and if they are the right fit for the job. I had a bookkeeper who was a high I person, and I now can see why that did not work at all well. This bookkeeper couldn't even balance 7 ledger entries in 1 month. They didn't know how to balance their petty cash at the end of that. And their door was always open. And as soon as another staff member walked by, she kind of called out and they started chatting and not a lot of work was done. So very quickly, actually, when I'd employed the staff member, I could have foreseen that something like this would happen. And that's the insight that you're really wanting. The same can be said through utilizing the high I person in your office or school environment. Remember, the high I people are incredibly people-oriented, like the fun, they're warm, they like variety, so they can sometimes be a good face for your organization, perhaps front of house, where they're meeting people, sorting out issues. Every day is different because they never know what's going to arise. These will be the people who will be perceived as warm and also quite caring and excellent at selling your school or your business or your product, because they relate and connect very quickly to other people. Now, that's a really good point, because if you have, for example, at a school, a parent body, having a high I person is going to be an attraction which will make the other parents feel warm and connected to the school. Having a high C person, who is just about details, data, and policies and procedures, may not kind of get the warmth that you're wanting to create if that is the case. So bearing in mind their profiles, you can start to see patterns which will really support you in getting what you want to get to. I have found that if I was managing a tricky situation where I needed the trust and the buy-in from people, a high I personality can also facilitate those conversations and that initial atmosphere creating, because they are the people who make people feel at home and like a sense of connectedness and belonging. Similar to a D person, wading through a lot of details can really demotivate an I style person, like I said with the bookkeeper. They're wanting to have fun and not get bogged down by all the ticks and the boxes that they need to fill on administration and procedures. So let's take it on then to the best way to recognize and reward an I style personality. So as people person, anything that puts them in the spotlight or gets the community around them to recognize the impact of what they're doing is going to really make them feel, I don't want to say proud, but make them feel recognized. So here we have a distinction. For example, the high I, as I have said, appreciates social recognition, knows being singled out in groups of people and rewarded or acknowledged. Whereas a high S person, although they also like to be acknowledged and singled out, they prefer that this is done one-on-one. So you would go up to a high S person and acknowledge that person and thank them and reward them one-on-one. But the high I person, you would do that in a public setting. So you can imagine that if you're a school principal and you're singling out a teacher who is a high S and you're singling them out in a group of people, well, it could still work for them to some degree, but they would be far more appreciative of it if you also took the time to engage them one-on-one about it. And this is really what we're wanting to uncover or discover with the DISC profile, is understanding the nuances and the strategies for us to really unlock the potential of our staff. It opens up a whole new experience. So if we're coming back to how to recognize and reward the I style, we'll definitely applaud their energy and people skills by creating more opportunities for them to use these talents, because they are talents that they've got. So they're going to have energy for people. They're going to have good people skills. So keep creating more opportunities so that they can shine at this. Also recognize growth by providing them with those opportunities to network with the other strategic and key players in your organization. So this is around them connecting to the other people that together they could work with and make something bigger or better. So again, it's going to be people oriented and networking, connecting to other key players. As they bring in some results, so you can certainly show approval for what they've done by recommending them for awards and advancement opportunities. So like the high Ds, they also want to feel that advancement coming on, and therefore any recognition and awarding of advancement and awards is going to be experienced as the high I as something that's significant and definitely in their flow. So this is really important to bear in mind coming from the space. If you've got high I people in your workplace, how to reward them, how to accelerate and make sure they're in the relevant niche. And bear in mind, of course, that if you are an employee who has a high I boss, then this is the way to approach them about things. If you want to be on their good side, well, again, recognize and if I can say reward them by singling them out in group settings and thank them for things. So if you're a high I teacher or a high I staff member, holding a function where people get together and you can publicly thank and appreciate your boss for what they're doing, that's going to make them feel really special and certainly earmark you probably for advancement. Likewise, let's figure out what it is that if you do these things, the following things, it's going to stress out a high I personality type. High eyes are enthusiastic and optimistic. They see the big picture and see the positive in it. So if you just dampen that optimism and their enthusiasm, it's going to definitely shut them down and stress them out. So often high eyes share with me that they are often told that they're too boisterous or they're too loud or that they're not taking things seriously enough. All they want to do is joke around and have fun. So that's exactly what I mean by dampening their optimism. So you can kind of get a sense that if you're a high C person and you're working with a high I person who's just sitting there chatting and not necessarily doing the work and who wants to avoid implementing the correct procedures or doing the policy correctly, the high C person is going to get incredibly frustrated and irritated and actually be quite condescending back to that high E, a high I person. And there you've got conflict just brewing. Whereas if we understand this a bit more, it's going to open up a lot of tolerance and understanding. And vice versa, of course. A high I person who's working with a high C person is going to get so frustrated that the high C person just takes so long to do things. Will only do things if it's in the book, if it's done correctly. If all the boxes are ticked off, the high I person is just going to shrug their shoulders and just want to move on. Also, so if you're not letting the high I speak up, if you're suppressing their views and opinions, in other words, not letting them be public about it, it's going to stress them out. And if you don't let them show any emotion, or just get them to not be dramatic. Remember, I said dramatic is gesture to bring a bit of flair. You're just going to definitely stress them out. And of course, if you take away their phones and their workmates and their social networking, well, they're going to start to feel very stressed. How do the high eyes work in conflict? Well, conflict certainly can make them emotional and angry, and this will no doubt affect their performance, so their results. They may take the conflict personally and therefore see the conflict about them, and it's just going to totally de-energize them. They may also dwell on the conflict rather than focus on the task. So remember that they also are people-oriented. So if there's a breakdown in a relationship, this is definitely going to be something that they're going to think about and therefore dwell on and, again, negatively impact their performance. The interesting part of the high eye is if they feel that they're not coping as well with the conflict, sometimes they can lash out and actually attack the personality of the other person, like really go for the jugular and undermine them such that it just reasserts them back in the position of power and rightness. And of course, you might find that because these are persons and are often verbal and expressive, they will often want to express what they think, what's going on for them, and they will feel an overwhelming need to express themselves when they are very upset. So there's a summary of the I, the high I personality type. If we move into the high S style person, here again we can have a look at what demotivates them. Well, being in competitive environments, these are people who are very fair, who are just, who are very moral, who want to take turns and will wait their turn. So you can imagine that if there's competition and there's a win-lose situation, it's going to create a lot of stress for them. High S people, I often refer to the S as stable, routine, and therefore if there's a quick change in direction of what is needed or you bring about change very quickly, it's going to throw them. They like to know how things are going to be in advance. They want forewarning. So if you just jump something on them, it's going to be rather challenging. So that also then brings into account if you're going to rush any decision that they need to make. So if they're needing to get back to you with something or to process information, if you demand it very quickly, it's going to rush them because they want to go and look over it and feel that they've got time to reflect on it and make sure that they're making the right decision. The high S people are still people persons, not as much as the I. So therefore, anything to do with the warmth of connecting to people is also incredibly important for them. In fact, the high S people are the most loyal of the personality types. So if any one who they have to connect with is cold or argumentative, then it's going to really demotivate a high S person. When I do group work with the different profile types and I've got an S group together, you will notice that they're all sitting together, leaning towards each other, listening carefully to what everyone is saying. Each one is waiting their turn before they have a turn to share what's going on in their mind. So there's a different connection of this being a group, this being a team, and everyone has the same rights as everyone else. Whereas in the high Ds, you will see that group quickly processing information. The one person interrupts the other, and they're okay with that. And of course, then they're just going to start talking about other things when they want to move on to a different topic. The high S people are much better at implementing than improvising. So if you're forcing them to come up with something new or to start something new, it will stress them out. If you're asking them to design a new policy or to start a new project, well, that's not really going to be in their flow. They're much better at implementing and running with than starting up or designing from scratch. And of course, as we mentioned, because these are more the stable, consistent type of personality types in the DISC, if you place them into a chaotic situation, it's going to be very stressful for them because there's so many variables that are going on and so many things that they have to process that time for them is not there. They'll feel rushed and they won't be able to handle that. And also bearing that in mind, this group finds the most difficulty in saying no. So they often put their needs below the needs of the people around them. They'll often just say, yes, I will do that for you, even though inside they are really not wanting to do it. And this runs the risk that, one, no one else really knows what's going on for the high S person, unless, of course, they have learned with emotional intelligence and with wisdom of age that this is something which is not serving them, and they've learned to say no, or they've learned to engage in a more emotionally intelligent and constructive manner. But for them, it's something that they've had to learn as opposed to a part of their natural pattern. So they really dislike confrontation, and therefore will often just give up their own needs and for the good of others, or just because they don't want to have the confrontation. So the best way to recognize and reward the S-style person, I did mention earlier the difference between acknowledging and praising a high I opposed to a high S. And a high S person appreciates the connection much more of the one-to-one. So meet regularly to assure them that they're meeting your expectations. If you're a boss of a high S person, they want to know that they're doing okay and that they're not letting you down. Remember that for them, they want to avoid confrontation. So for them, expectations are very important, and they don't want you to think badly of them. So meet with them to say, yes, everything's fine, you're doing well, or to even give them advice on how they could perform better. And no doubt you'll do that tactfully so that they don't interpret it as accusations. So to praise and recognize them, again, recognize their strengths. And their strengths are significantly things like steadiness, supportiveness, and what they're contributing to team success. Because they're not the limelight people, they're not there in the spotlight, they can often go unnoticed and therefore unappreciated. So the more you acknowledge subtly what they're bringing to the team, this is significantly going to make them feel part of the team and appreciated by you, and will increase the loyalty that they have to you. So therefore, this means rewarding them with warm and sincere praise, and preferably in a one-to-one setting as opposed to publicly. Now, it doesn't mean don't do it publicly, but the important part will be when it's done one-to-one with that sincerity. That's where they feel that deep connection and reciprocal loyalty back to you. In the same light, if you do have a boss who is a high S, it would really be useful to do the reverse to them. So if you're coming to do a new proposal, give your boss lots of time to reflect on it and recognize the boss for the difference that they're making to the team, for their loyalty in supporting everyone, in how they are working diligently and consistently, also on your behalf. And that will also create a rapport and connection, which is incredibly important for a high S person. So remember, they'll often go out of their way to support their team. And if you can tap into that and recognize the value that they're bringing as your boss, then you'll also really increase the return of what they will give you. So any advancement or any opportunities, if you are a principal or a boss and you've got high S employees, then they're not likely to come to you and say, could you please give me an advancement? Remember, they don't put their needs first. So they're probably sitting there hoping that you'll see them, hoping that you'll notice. And at some point when the position opens up, you will automatically just put them into it as if it's like, well, can't you see what I'm bringing to the team? So that can be a real challenge because they can sit there with resentment, hoping that you should have seen them and it not happening. So look for those high S people and make sure that you're not just rewarding those who are demonstrative of that request, but actually you're looking for those that also deserve it, because the high S people often feel that they are far more deserving than anyone else of what's going on, because they're kind of like the unsung heroes of teamwork. Likewise, if you have a high boss, a high S boss, they're not going to necessarily be looking out for you in the same light, but also you could also acknowledge them for what they're doing, and that, you know, advancement should also be something that you feel they are worthy of. That will also build a significant rapport with them. If you're going to stress out a high S, again, this is about more noticing if you're doing these things, it will stress out a high S, and maybe it's useful to prevent doing them. And that is if you keep changing the rules and processes. So if you just chop and change your systems, your procedures, or the way in which things are done, the S people are going to be a bit thrown, because for them, they love that stability and routine. If you have a high S boss, well, going to them and saying, oh, I'm just going to do things differently, or I've designed my own way to do stuff, they probably are not going to appreciate that either, because you need to forewarn them. You need to give them appropriate information, give them time to reflect and process, get their contribution as to what you think could be done about the project you're thinking of. So it works both ways from that perspective. You'll also stress out a high S person if you change the expected results of routine actions. So again, just if the things that they're doing, suddenly you're wanting something different. So anything that brings about a lot of change, it's not that they can't handle change, just give them time and appropriate space to process the change. One sure way to stress them out is to question their loyalty. So remember that we said that because they put so many of their needs below other people, in a way, it's kind of like, I'm doing this for you. So if you question their loyalty, it's going to really stress them out. If you say things like, do you really have the team's best interest at heart? Because it seems like you're just so selfish. That will just freak them out and stress them out. Also, if you don't prioritize, it's going to be really difficult for a high S person to figure out what is the next best thing to do. So they are, as like I mentioned, really great at implementing. And if you just say, this is what needs to be done, X, Y, Z, and without any sense of what is the most important thing for you, well, how are they going to meet your expectations of what is needed to be done? Because they're needing guidance from you, the visionary or the person in charge, as to what needs to happen. And of course, because they are also time-based people, remember they need time for things, rushing them to do things is also just going to really throw them and create an uncertainty for them. Because they value expectations and want to know what is going on and how to do things correctly, if you give them a task and they're unclear about the task, they will ask you. They will want to come to you and say, how do I do this? What do you mean by this? So if you are unavailable to give them the clarity or the detail, in other words, you just hand the task and then walk away or are too busy, it's going to throw them into a panic because what do they do now? How are they going to move forward if they don't have all the information that they're needing? How does the high S deal with conflict? Well, they may compromise on things that they care about and remain frustrated beneath the surface. So again, often putting their needs below other people. And because they're concerned about the expectation that other people have of them, they are worried that they may waste energy, or they waste energy worrying about what other people are thinking of them and if there's a break in the connectedness. Because remember, they're really a lot on loyalty and teamwork and connection. So if there's conflict going on, they're interpreting this as something's wrong, it's not going well, this person is upset with me, and that's just going to totally demotivate them and decrease their productivity. Because this still works around expectations, they're going to be concerned and fearful about making mistakes because they don't want to upset you. And if they let you down, remember the loyalty is important. So if they feel that they're letting you down, it could put them into a kind of analysis paralysis. They don't know what to do next. So this will limit their effectiveness or their ability to make changes and obviously to get things into action. So there's an outline of some of the high S characteristics. If we move on to what demotivates a C style person. So a C style person is predominantly cautious, careful, much more the perfectionist type of person, systemic, they're analytical, they implement much better than create because their strength is in analyzing and processing. So if you want to demotivate a C style person, well, just force them to work with a whole lot of other people because with other people, there's a lot of variables and unknowns and uncertainties and conflict, and that's just going to stress a high C person because they can't control their environment around them. So it's just going to create a lot of demotivation for them. Because they are data-driven, perfectionist, systemic, if you give vague or ambiguous directions, well, they won't know how to process or where to go from here because they want to do it right. They want to do it the correct way. They want to do it right the first time. So there's going to be a big challenge if you're getting them to do something. Vice versa, if you've got a high C boss and that boss is giving you some information, well, if you're a high D person, well, you're going to get so frustrated by all the detail and the micromanaging. And at the same time, whatever personality profile you are, the high C boss is probably also going to be wanting it to be done in a specific way that works for them, what they perceive as the correct perfectionist way. So you could actually be achieving great results, but if it's not done the correct way or the right way or the way that your boss wants it, it could set you up for a lot of frustration. No, regardless of the results, because the high C is a perfectionist type of person. And that is me. I'm a high C person. I really believe in a lot of the systems and procedures I design. They create results. And if people choose not to implement them in a certain way, it just frustrates me because it's like, well, why bother then? So I'd much rather just do it myself. So that also then deals onto the high C can feel uncomfortable with strong displays of emotion. But remember, these are people who are more calculating, they appreciate control, and this is obviously going to spill over into them, into their emotional world. So when there's a lot of drama and a lot of expressiveness of emotion, it can make a high C person feel really uncomfortable, which is why a high I and a high C can find difficulties working together, because the high I likes to be expressive, dramatic, and demonstrative, and the high C doesn't. So you put those two together and you will see that they will start rubbing each other up the wrong way. Because the high C is a perfectionist, if you're asking a high C to just let the mistakes and the errors go, it's like, don't worry, it's not important, that's not going to work. A high C wants to know that things are happening the correct way. So they don't want to let the mistakes slide. High C's are also time-based, so rushing them to make decisions or rushing them to make decisions before they've processed all the information is also just going to demotivate and stress them out. They like to make informed decisions, to have covered all the angles, to have made sure that there's no other error that's going to happen before they make a decision. So that's not going to be really effective. So if it is that, for example, one of my organizations is a Section 21 public benefit organization, it's a charity, it's audited, there's a strict regulations and procedures, I want the person who is working with me on that organization to be a high C, because they are going to make sure that every T and every I is dotted and crossed and the correct procedure is done, because I do not want it to come back that there's an error and then we get brought up for liability or for fraud or something like that. So again, use the strengths of these people so that it can cover the differences that you might bring to a certain table. The high C's, remember, because they're perfectionists, want to do it right. This is incredibly important for them. They hate being wrong. It doesn't mean that they're being irrational. It just means that they're driven to get it right the first time. So therefore, how do you recognize and reward them? Well, compliment them, but this time on their performance and their expertise, because these are going to be perfectionists who are experts in their fields. So anything that shows the kind of level of competency, skill sets, expertise, and their performance is going to make them feel that you're seeing them for who they are. But remember that they're not public people as such. They prefer to have this one-on-one, and private praise is going to be a much more powerful way to do it. Thank them for their high quality standards, because they're going to have very high standards. And it's those high standards which will leverage you into where you want to go. And therefore, these people will also support and contribute to your own success. They bring something to your team which is incredibly important. On the one hand, they can be people who might slow down your progress if you're a high D and I person. In other words, you like the high fast pace. These people may be perceived as slowing you down, but they're also supporting you because they're going to notice the small mistakes, the little things that could actually really nail you later on if you don't have that. So again, they have the strengths, even though at times it can feel like to other personality types that it's not like that. Help them to further develop their strengths, including analysis, logic, and problem solving. So this is anything that contributes and builds them in their already repertoire of strengths is going to be appreciated by them. And reward them for their quality work by taking a more hands-off approach and granting them more autonomy. So this is really important because remember, they want to do it right. They don't want to do it wrong. They are controlling. They want greater independence, that giving them more independence is going to work for them. So often the high C people, their kind of motto is, I'll just do it alone, because then they can manage their time, they can manage their expectations, there's no curveballs, they can get it right, and they thrive in that arena. So working in large groups is going to be very tricky for them, but that's how you can praise them. Get them to do things by taking a hands-off approach. If you're stressing them out, well, criticize their work. Tell them that it's not good or that it's lacking in detail or it's not perfect enough. You're going to stress them out, especially if you rush them to do something because they're not going to have had time to make sure everything is perfect. Also, sending them to uselessness, in other words, getting them to do useless tasks is just going to be a massive frustration. Getting them to take decisions quickly, snap decisions, well, they're going to be confused because they have to still process priorities, information. So getting them to make quick decisions is going to stress them out. And if you give them insufficient information, well, how can they make informed decisions if you don't give them the correct information? So that's going to stress them out. And give them lousy equipment. So don't upgrade the computers. Don't use really powerful technology or things that will work properly. So they've got a job to do and they want to do it. And if the equipment is lousy or keeps breaking, it's going to prevent them from getting where they know they can get to. And it's going to be incredibly frustrating for them. If they're creating projects and have timelines, well, you'll stress them out if you bring the timeline forward and actually get them to implement or to release a project early. So this is really important because they will manage their own time well and make sure things are done on time. But if you rush them and they're just not going to want to make it go live as such if it's not ready or if you bring the timeline forward. And of course, they really like to check and to test and to test again and to check everything. So if you don't let them finish anything, they will feel incredibly unfulfilled. So your high D types are great starters of projects and the high C are great finishers. The high D types are not great at finishing because of all the detail, and the high Cs are not great at starting because they don't know where to start from and there's just too many variables to take into account. But you can see how those two can actually work quite well if you know how to leverage the high D to get a project started and then start to phase it and hand it over to a high C personality type as well. If we moved into conflict of the motivation style, or the conflict and how it affects motivation of the C style, well, these are very much conflict avoidance. They really want to avoid the conflict and they could become resentful and unyielding, which again just limits their productivity. So there's a sense of, I don't want to say stubbornness, but there's definitely a sense of wanting to do it right, and then there's a resentful and unyieldingness which can creep in. They will also withdraw from situations to avoid dealing with all those curveballs of emotion and drama. It's just so frustrating for them that they're actually just avoid and just walk away, let things happen as they do. Where the high S internalizes, the high C wants to avoid it. Therefore, this unexpressive manner that the high C can show may hide the tendency to worry excessively. So in my case, I recall as a school principal, I had lots of people sharing with me that they found it incredibly difficult to read me, to read my emotions. They often would say to me that I'm cold and unapproachable. And I can certainly see that through their eyes because I was managing my internal world very closely and very carefully and therefore didn't show any of that. And these were people like the high S and the high I personality types who were looking to connect with me, who were looking for the guidance and the warmth, and they didn't feel it from me. So they were interpreting it as something that they had done wrong. And of course, this just created a lot of misunderstanding and conflict. So in summary, our last section, what motivates people in each of the DISC styles? So D, motivators tend to be bottom line, profit and achievement, so really results. I motivators tends to be fun, travel and position. S motivators tend to be helping people, building friendships and appreciation. C motivators tend to be value, excellence and consistency. How does each DISC personality type approach tasks? Well, the Ds have a motto of do it now, do it quickly. The I's motto is, well, let's put it off until later. Let's make it fun now. The S's, well, let's get help from others. Let's use traditional methods, time and tested. And the C is, well, I'll just do it myself and I'll do it properly. If we looked at how each personality profile type responds to conflict situations and how you should expect them to react, Well, the D most likely is going to demand its own way. It's going to use that drive and that force to get what get its needs met. The I can attack personally if it cannot make peace. So there again, they can actually attack the character of the other person. The S just complies with expectations, pushes their needs below other people's needs below what they're also wanting. And the C just avoids confrontation wherever possible. So as you can see, knowing some of these profile types is going to create huge insight into how to work with, how to use your leadership style to get more of what you're needing and not at the cost of others. It will also support you in figuring out which positions to also put your staff members into to get them to be at their best performing and in them feeling their most fulfilled and expressing of their talents in the best way. And vice versa, knowing what your boss's profile is allows you to align what you're needing so you can accelerate what it is that you're wanting to get, or you can find actually how to connect on a different layer so that you can actually create the work environment that you're also feeling most enthralled by and inspired by. Perhaps the last thing for me just to cover is the distinction on the charts between your natural and your adaptive style. There are often two different graphs on the same page that refer to the natural style, and there are a whole lot of numbers and colors, and then your adaptive style. Now, the natural style is more normally seen as what you are most, what is your greatest flow space, the style that you will exhibit if you had more the free rein of what you're wanting. The adaptive style is the style that you think you should be showing. In other words, you have adapted your behavior in certain situations primarily because the people around you have shaped what you believe should be like. So for example, if someone has a very high I natural style, but a very low I adaptive style, my bet is that there's a conversation that's going on in that person's head that is saying that being a high I person is not great, is not conducive, is not right. So the things that these people have probably said, either it was their previous teachers or their parents or their existing community around them, will be saying, oh, you don't take things seriously. You're just all about having fun. You just want everything for yourself and not for others. This person, on hearing that, will then start to temper their spontaneity, their joyousness, because they believe that the high I personality behavior is not serving them. They will temper that. In other words, they will adapt to that, and that is what the difference of the two graphs show up. So if you also think about it, if the pattern of the two graphs is very similar, in other words, the shape of the D, I, S, and C is similar in both, then you can see that this person's natural and their adaptive styles are very similar. And my guess is that person will value authenticity as an incredibly high value in human development or in human behavior. They are saying that they must be the same person, whether it's on their own, doing whatever they're wanting to do, or whether you're in any other situation. They believe that that behavior needs to stay consistent. And those are really good telltale signs in where it is that maybe you can see you've given up on things that are really important to you. And that is if there's a discrepancy in the shape of the graphs or in a significant amount of the numbers. And I'm referring to something greater than 30 points there. So if you were 80 D in a natural style, and then you're a kind of 50 or 40 in adaptive style, that means you're tempering, you're decreasing the drive, the ability to make quick decisions in you, because somewhere someone is saying you should not be doing this. Being decisive or driving or demanding is bad and wrong, so you try and adapt to that. Well, there we go. There's a whole lot of information that can be used to support you as a school principal, a boss, an employee, in whatever you're getting. And it really is a great tool, and I wish you all the best with it.